The book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Somebody next to you doesn't have a Bible, might want to share yours with them. Tonight we can read this scripture, some scripture that I've known and appreciated for a long, long time. First time I've ever preached on it as a text tonight, but the Lord used this scripture many, many, many times as people would preach the Word of God. Don't forget to invite somebody to be with you next Sunday for Sunday school. We have our quarter thousand campaign. They got the quarter pounder and Big Mac and all them other things, so we're going to have a quarter thousand campaign. December the 19th, a quarter of 1,000 people in Sunday school. That sounds like a lot, but what do we have this morning? 247, just everybody that comes preaching this morning comes to Sunday school, and three more. Surely we can do that. I don't believe that'd be no trouble at all. I have a couple here this morning that I'd invited to Sunday school, and maybe we can get some stuff printed up for it in the next couple of weeks. So don't forget that. And also the kids that's going to be in the Christmas play. Any of the children that want to be in the play, have a poem, need to be here for play practice next Sunday evening. All right. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. I want you to pray for us during this message that God will use it to speak to hearts. Proverbs 13, 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. I want to preach to you tonight on the way of transgressors. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for our health and our strength and all the many, many blessings of life. We thank you, Father, for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We thank you, Lord, that you commended your love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our Father, tonight, Lord, as we come to this time, Lord, this holy time, this sacred time, this wonderful time, God, we pray as we look into your Word, Lord, that you would open our minds and open our hearts and open our ears that we may receive with meekness the infallible, eternal, living Word of the living God. Lord, that we may receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God. I pray tonight, Father, that you'd straighten us out with it. Lord, I pray, God, that we'd use it a guideline, a rule for our lives, for our homes and our children. Our Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for these that are here. We thank you, Father, for these that have come to hear the Word of God. Lord, our heart goes out. Those that are here tonight who've never been saved, Father, I pray that you would take your Word, thy servant, and use us tonight, Lord. Help us to say something, Lord. God, I feel so helpless tonight. God, I feel so unable to do what needs to be done here tonight. Unless the Holy God comes and does what needs to be done, Lord, we'll leave no better than we came. But, oh, Father, we beg and plead for your presence tonight. We pray, our Father, that the Holy Ghost may come down and move in every heart and every life, that you'd move out of our lives and hearts anything that would be displeasing in your sight. Lord, we don't want to displease you, but God, we want to please you tonight. Our Father, we pray that the sword of the Spirit may cut tonight and pierce in the hearts of men and bring conviction and draw men to Jesus and save them by your grace. Do what needs to be done, and Lord, we'll praise you and thank you and glorify you for it all. For it's in Jesus' lovely name we pray, and for his sake, amen. I don't want to preach to you tonight on the way of transgressors. The Bible said over in the New Testament that sin is the transgression of the law. So if you're not familiar with that word transgressor tonight, I'm sure you are familiar with the word sin. Now we're going to deal with that word sin tonight and talk about the way of a sinner. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. Now, every young person, every teenager, all you that stood up a minute ago that's under 21, I want you to pay very, very close attention tonight. Please, just lend me your ear for a few minutes, and just a little while, and I want to bring you some truths that you need to hear. You see, you are being shot a line in this world tonight. You're being told that you just live like you want to live and choose your own lifestyle and do whatever turns you on and just live like you please and everything's going to turn out all right. If you want to get out here and get drunk once in a while, that'd be all right. If you want to dibble-dabble around in premarital sex, why, that'd be all right too. Plenty of time to get married and settle down. You're being shot a line, young punk, and you're being told a lie by the devil. The Bible said the way of transgressors is hard. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that said the Christian life is hard. I know a lot of people say, oh, it's so hard to live a Christian life. No, it's hard when you're not surrendered to the Lord, but when you're totally sold out to Him, it's wonderful. What's hard is trying to hold on to the world and live for God at the same time. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that it's hard to live the Christian life. I know that the Christian life is full of battles and full of troubles, and we get persecuted and have all kinds of trouble many times, and those battles are rough. But there's joy down inside of the Christian living a Christian life. But the Bible said the way of transgressors is hard. And here we see in this scripture the reinforcement of God's hammer, knocking that thing down, bring home that truth that the sinner only has pleasure for a little while, and then comes tragedy and eternal suffering. I want to preach to you tonight, just for a few minutes, on the way of transgressors. Now, you're here tonight, you young people, you're going in one of two directions. You are going the way of the Lord, or you are going the way of the devil. Every person in here tonight, all you girls, all you young boys, every one of you are following God or following the devil. And if you follow God, you know where God's going to wind up? Heaven. That's where you're going to wind up. If you follow the devil, you know where the devil's going to wind up? Hell. And that's where you'll wind up. You can't follow the devil and go to be with God. You can't follow God and go to be with the devil. I want you to know there's only two ways. And it's either the way up or the way down. It's either turn or it's burn. You're either following the way of transgressors or the way of holiness. Now the Bible talks to us about the way of transgressors tonight. I want to mention to you several things. And you pay very close attention, young people, especially. I know now why the Lord laid this message on our heart. He knew that all these kids would be here tonight. And it's not just for you, but especially, and maybe, you know, kind of pointedly to your life tonight. First of all, the way of the sinner is the way of bitterness. The way of a sinner is the way of bitterness. Do you ever know that? Did you know that sin, the Bible talks about sin. And the Bible talks about one sin, where he's talking about fooling around with this old wicked woman. And it said that her end is bitter as wormwood. Now the Bible says that sin starts out sweet, but it always winds up bitter. Now, you know as I know, there's thousands of illustrations of that we could give. You know people that went to school with you, no doubt, that went out into sin. They started going to parties. They started going to the school dances. They started going to those places. First thing you know, there's dibble-dabbling with sin. And that sin's sweet at the beginning. But at last, it was bitter. And oh, how terrible it tasted in their mouth. Did you know tonight if you're saved and God has saved you from your sin? Oh, how thankful you ought to be that you ain't in that old sinful life no more. Many people need to get out of it. There's boys I went to school with, folks. There's boys I knew in school that dibble-dabble with sin, and right now them boys ain't living on this earth. They're dead and gone. Some of them been killed by car wrecks. Some of them were killed with diseases. Some of them were killed with other things. They're gone. Their life is no more. The way of a sinner is the way of bitterness. You know what? A man starts out in sin thinking he'll get real sweetness from it, but it never really satisfies. I want to say something to you young people tonight. Listen to me. Sin never will satisfy you. It never will satisfy you. I don't care how much you get, you'll want more. I don't care how drunk you get or how high you get, it never will satisfy you completely. I pick up boys hitchhiking on the interstate, and I say, where are you going? They say, California. And I say, where are you coming from? They say, down here on the coast of North Carolina. And I say, why are you leaving? They say, well, I went up, you know, I've been through the mill. Started out smoking pot, Then I went on to a little bit of cocaine, and then I went on to some harder stuff. I've done this, I've done that. They go through a bunch of other stuff that I wouldn't mention to you here tonight. And they say, I just can't really, it just don't turn me on like it used to. I'm going to go hunt something else. Now, sin is like that. It never really satisfies. Solomon, back in the Old Testament, the Bible said he had everything a man could possibly want. You know about girls, brother? He had 1,000 wives. Can you imagine? I wondered why the Lord called him such a wise man. 1,000 wives. I reckon he called him that before he done. I'm sure he did. Before he married all them women, he had 1,000 living wives, brother. And I want you to know, he was a wicked man in that sense of the word. And he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 of them. And he had everyone he just snap his fingers and get anything he want. You talk about gold, you talk about money, you talk about having the jack, brother, having all kinds of bread. This boy had it. I mean, he could have hired Johnny Carson to drive him around. He could have hired Howard Hughes to do his dishes, brother. I mean, he is rich. Had more gold than Fort Knox ever thought about having. And you know what he said? When he done all that he wanted to, when he had 1,000 wives and the palace to live in, you know what he come out on the other end saying? All is vanity. All is vanity. There's nothing to live for a son. And don't you go down that old road. Sin is the way of bitterness. I read about this man up in Canada, and he lived right outside the city limits. And the garbage trucks come and picked up everybody's garbage, and they turned around right before they got to his house and wouldn't pick it up. And he said, how in the world am I going to get rid of this trash? So one day he had a bright idea. He took his trash and wrapped it up in a beautiful box and put wrapping paper around it and tied a pretty bow on it and just put it out there on the side of the highway. And he sat by his house and watched. Sure enough, it wasn't just a few minutes till a car come by, stopped, backed up. A man got out, looked around, see if anybody was looking. Got that package, put it in his car. Got back in his car, took off just to fly. Boy, don't you know he was surprised when he opened up that thing and it knocked him down. Banana peeling, coffee ground, all kinds of old soured milk. Old thing that the kids didn't eat, you know, them little round things that goes around the end of the slice of bologna, little red strips, brother. All that stuff in there together, right in his face. Now listen, you know that's the way sin is? That's the way sin is. The devil wraps it up in a package, and he puts it on the side of the road, or he puts it on a TV commercial, and it says, come on, live with us. And the disco lights are flashing, and boy, the music's a-playing. And you think, boy, that looks good. But when you open that package, man, it stinks. It's rotten. And you wind up, sin is bitter. Oh, how sweet it looks. But oh, how bitter the poison is. Up in New Jersey, there was a lady who had this tailor make her a suit. And brother, he had this thing tailor-made. And she was a young model, you know. And this old boy, worked on this thing and worked on this thing. And she come over to pick it up. And when she come over to pick it up, she said, oh, it's just magnificent. You done wonderful. And she hugged his neck and gave him a kiss on the cheek. And oh, he just sold up on the inside. Her soft arms felt so good around his neck. Her perfume smelled so good in his nostrils. And he thought, oh, how sweet that was. But when she got gone, he felt back there and felt his billfold was gone. And everything he had got had been taken by that young lady. And did you know that is a perfect illustration of sin. You think, oh boy, this is wonderful. How sweet it is. But boy, you realize you got ripped off only when it's too late. And you realize it always steals from you and takes what you have. There's a man got off a bus up in New York. And he came into town, had $900 in his billfold. And he come walking down the street, and a friendly man came up and made friends with him. Wasn't long till another friendly man came up and made friends with him. And they wound up in a bar. They showed him where the best bars were. He drank and drank and drank until he hardly didn't know where he was at. The next morning he kind of come around, and both of those free men were gone. So was his billfold. So was his $900. That's a picture of sin, young people. It'll rip you off. You hear me? It'll rob from you. It'll destroy you. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. You mark it down in the book. That back in World War I, there's an old songwriter wrote an old famous song. And the song went, pack up your troubles and smile, smile, smile. And that hit the top of the charts. People thought, that's what we need to do. We need some positive thinking in this thing. Smile, smile, and the world war will go away. No, it won't go away, and sin won't either. I want you to know, just because you smile ain't going to change things a bit. You can't run from reality. You must face it. Sin is bitter. The way of a sinner is the way of bitterness. But not only that, tonight, also we learn from the Bible that the way of a sinner is the way of slavery. If you live a sinful life, hey, girls, listen to me now. If you live a sinful life, you are living in slavery. You may think you're free. You may brag about how free you are, and mama ain't going to tell you what to do, and daddy ain't going to tell you what to do, and the preacher ain't going to run your life, but you live a life of slavery to your sin. Mark it in your book. A man starts out playing with sin. Then he goes too far and finds out he's hooked, and then he can't quit. That's what sin will do. It starts out, you just playing around with it like a little toy, and you're just flipping around and play with it, and flipping around and play with it. Next thing you know, you have it. And the next thing you know, you can't live without it. And the next thing you know, you're dependent upon it. The way of the sinner is the way of slavery. Did you know when you go fishing, what do you do? When you go fishing, what do? You hide the hook with bait. And you put that thing down in the water, and the fish says, a worm. And he goes over there, and he don't see the hook, does he? All he sees is the worm. But when he takes the worm, he gets the hook in his throat. Now, sin is like that, young people. You can't see, all you can see is the bait, see? That's all you can see, just the bait. The devil never will show you the hook, just the bait. He hides the hook under the most attractive bait, but catches us at last. You see a picture. And on that picture, you see Cher. And she's coming down through there, boy, with roller skates on. And about 100 other old people right behind her, and they all got on hot pants. And they're dancing, twisting back and forth down through there like a bunch of rubber dolls. And they're coming down through there, and you think, boy, I'd like to live like that. But all you see is the bait. You don't see the hook. The devil's got on the inside. When the boys say, come on in, get in my car. And you say, where are we going? And they say, we're going to go out and roll one. And you say, yeah, man, Mick Jagger does it. And everybody else does it. Come on, we're going to have a good time. You say, no, I'm kind of scared of that stuff. Afraid I might get hooked. Oh, you're silly. You can't get hooked on roaches. Come on, have one with us. And you get in the car, and they paint it up real attractive. But you don't see the hook. The hook is there. The hook is there. And you can't see it, but it's about ready to snag you. And I want you to know that's the way the devil gets. Hey, the devil's got better sense. The devil is not going to come up to you with a red suit on and a pitchfork and horns and say, boo, I'm a devil, follow me. I'll take you to hell. He's got better sense than that. He's going to come attractive. He's going to come, brother, in something that looks pretty. He's going to come in a good time. He's going to come and say, hey, let's live it up. We're just going to have a beer. We're just going to have a good time. And you find out that the way of transgressor is the way of slavery. You say, Brother Danny, I just drink about one beer a month now. Don't get down on my little sin. Just a little sin, a little bit ain't going to hurt. Oh, yeah? I heard about this guy's at work one day, and he's working with some acid and spilled a little bitty drop on his pants. And that night when he got home, he found out he had a little bitty red spot on his leg. He didn't pay no attention to it. A couple of days later, the spot got bigger and bigger and bigger. 5 days later, he's laying in a casket, and the preacher was preaching his funeral. Started out with a little bitty thing. Now that's how sin is. Sin starts out little. It starts out with you just taking a drink. You want me to tell you how drinking is, young people? It's like this. First of all, the man drink. Then, a drink. The drink takes a drink. Then, the drink takes the man. You always remember that. At first, you take a drink. Then you get about half three sheets in the wind, and the drink takes a drink. And then you get really out of it, and the drink takes the man. That's what sin will do to you. You know what I'm going to do? Lord, I believe the Lord's laid it on my heart. We can get it worked out. We're going to load up every one of our young people, our bus. We're going to take them to VA hospital in Asheville, or Black Mountain. We're going to take them down to Broad. We're going to take them a tour through there. And we're going to say, don't you pay no attention to that junk you hear on radio and TV about Conan Miller's Bud Dumber and Low Life. There's what sin will do to you. I went and visited a boy down there and saw him. He was just like this. And he just like he said, Danny, I just don't know. I want to get out of here. Danny, I don't want to drink. And I say, calm down. He couldn't even quit moving and talking hardly long enough for me to pray with him. That's what sin will do to you. It's a way of slavery. You do well to stay away from it. I read about this ship that had a wreck in the ocean. And brother, this ship got off course and it had a real careful captain. And they couldn't figure out what in the world made that thing get so far off course in one day. And so they went down and sent a diver down below, and he couldn't find nothing wrong. And they went in and examined the compass. The compass got off. When they opened that compass, they found a little tiny, little bitty piece of sharp metal in the side of it that looked just like an end of a point. And they come to find out that one of the sailors who had been commissioned to clean the compass the day before had broke the tip end of his pocket knife off in that compass. And as he broke the tip end of that pocket knife off in that compass, it was very little, but it was just enough to throw that compass off course and wreck that ship because of a little bitty sin as mine and your life would compare to it. One little sin, young people, that you're not willing to confess can wreck your whole life eventually if you'll let it. The way of a transgressor is the way of slavery. You know what I read about this boy one time? And he got a hold of him some angel dust. And that stuff is wild stuff. And this old boy got on that stuff and it just makes you go completely nuts where you don't know what you're doing. And the next day he woke up in prison. And when he came to himself, he said, what am I doing in prison? And they told him, you know, I never have been able to figure out why somebody wanted to get bombed out of their mind. If I was going to have that big of a time, I'd want to be in my right mind where I could enjoy it. Wouldn't you? They say, oh boy, I didn't know what happened from the time I left school yesterday to Sunday night. Boy, we had time. Say, what'd you do? I don't know. I don't remember a thing, but we had a time. Well, how do you know you had a time? You might have laid on the side of the road all night throwing up all over yourself. You don't know if you had a time. If I was going to have that big time, I'd want to be in my right mind where I can enjoy it. And they said, son, you murdered your mother. He said, no. They said, yes. He said, oh my God, no. Oh Lord, and he started hollering and screaming. That boy killed his mother under the influence of drugs. Spending a life sentence in prison right now for it. You see what a little sin can do? The way of a transgressor is a way of slavery. I read in the paper, Charlotte paper, just yesterday morning. Out in Wyoming, you might have heard about it. They had a family argument in the home. Little thing. When they left, the mom and dad left and went out to eat. 16-year-old boy. His 17-year-old sister decided to kill their daddy when he come home. And they said, we're going to execute. He planned out his execution. The young boy who was 16 years old hid in the garage with a 12-gauge shotgun. And the sister got a rifle and hid in the house in case the daddy come in the house. As soon as the daddy got out of his car, when the mom and dad pulled in the driveway, That boy stepped out of that garage door and cut down on him, shot him four times with a 12-gauge shotgun, just blowed him all to pieces. 16 years old. His mother's sitting in the car screaming. The police come and got the boy, charged him with first-degree murder. The girl had the other gun in the house. They chased her down and called her. 17 years old. Murdered her own daddy. Right now the boy's in jail and the girl's being held for aiding and abetting in first-degree murder. That boy and girl will have that on their conscience the rest of their life. Not to mention standing before God one day and having the murder of their own daddy on their hand to answer for. Now, those kids are messed up for life, folks. You know why? Somewhere, back a few years ago, they let little sin get started in their life. They started going the wrong way. They started going to concerts. They saw them boys get around, sling them chains, take razor blades and kick each other. And they said, that's the kind of life I want to live. My old man gives me any lip, I'll blow him away. Yeah, you did all right. Look where you're at tonight. You're in chains. Not only that, the way of the sinner is the way of hardness of heart. You keep going on in your sin, your heart will get harder and harder and harder and harder. A person hears the gospel when they're small and it really gets to them. But as time goes on, they get bigger and their heart gets harder. Every time you turn down a gospel invitation to get saved, your heart gets harder. Every time you hear an invitation and you don't walk out of your seat and come down and get saved, your heart just gets a little bit harder. You know, when we go out on visitation, we talk to some people and we knock on their door and we say, could we come in and talk to you about the Lord? And you know what they say? They say, I don't want to hear about it. I had enough of that stuff. Leave my house. You know what that problem is? Their problem is? Somewhere years ago, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the gospel got to them and it spoke to their heart, but they hardened their heart and they went in the way of a transgressor, and as a result, their heart got harder and harder and harder, and now it don't even faze them. We talked to them plenty of times and they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time when the gospel would have got to them, but they've hardened their heart and found out that the way of a sinner is a way of heart. As you know tonight, every time you get a chance to be saved and you don't get saved, your heart gets a little bit harder. Every time you hear an invitation, every time you hear a tape, every time you read a tract, or God's Spirit speaks to you at night and you say, no, God, no, I won't live like I won't live, your heart gets a little bit harder. If you're here tonight and you're a teenager and God Almighty's pricking your heart and speaking to your heart, you ought to flock to this altar tonight and say, God, don't let my heart get hard. I don't want to go the way of a sinner. You got 18, 19-year-old girls in this band. Laugh at Jesus in the Bible and church. We know them boys go out and preach. I'll tell you what I'm saying. You see young girls pressing around out there at the shopping centers. And they're painted up like Bozo the Clown. Their pants is tight. If they had a quarter in their back pocket, you could look and tell if it's heads or tails. They got high heels on that high, and Sunday strut around there like they're Miss USA. They think because they got a few little old girls that the boys like that they're the cutest thing ever hit McDowell County. You think you tell them about Jesus Christ, and they'll laugh in your face. Oh, how terrible their end's going to be one day when they're going to get saved and they say, oh my God, I've ruined my life, and their heart is so hard they can't find God. Not only that, but the way of the sinner is the way of death. The way of a sinner is the way of death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Adam sinned, he died. Eve sinned, she died. Cain sinned, he died. Abel sinned, he died. Genesis chapter 5,
every other verse, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. James chapter 1 said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin will eventually do you in, young people. Sin will eventually take its toll. Sin will eventually come to collect. Sin will eventually rob you of your life and your soul. Sin will eventually take you down. I remember one time a preacher, he saw a whole herd of hogs following this man to the slaughterhouse. And this man was just walking up the hill to the slaughterhouse, and a big gang of hogs was following him. And after he got through, the man said, how in the world did you get all them hogs to follow you in that slaughter pen? And the man said, I had a bag of beans. And he said, I'd go behind me and I'd drop a few, and they'd follow me. And I'd drop a few more, and they'd follow me. And I'd drop a few more. That's how we get them in there and slaughter them. Did you know tonight, if you're following the devil, he is leading you to the slaughter pen. And you will eventually be slaughtered. The Bible said, he that heareth the word and is often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You say, oh, I'm going to live to be 50 or 60. I'm going to do what I please. How you know you are? Did you know it puts you in a whole new ball game just being in this church tonight hearing this message? You know, young people, just hear this message tonight that God Almighty has granted you a special favor that a lot of young people don't have. Did you know that there's going to be special requirements made of you kids sitting in here tonight that may not be required? Kids growing up somewhere that don't have a gospel church and preacher to tell them the truth about sin? Did you know if you try to live your life in sin after being told and after being warned and after knowing what you ought to do, God liable to just cut off quick? We all know stories of boys who live their life in sin. You all know stories of boys who are going to a party and they're doing about 80 miles an hour and tried to pass a car, hit head on, and next thing you know there's blood and hair and bones and guts all over the place. That's the way of a sinner. God has a way of just interrupting your plans when you ain't expecting it. Not only that, but lastly tonight, the way of the sinner is the way of condemnation. The way of a transgressor is hard, the Bible said. The way of a sinner is a condemnation. Most people are lived tonight as if they'll never give an account of their life. You know that? Most people, the way they live tonight, they live in just like they never will have to give an account to God. If this old book's true tonight, one day, every person in this church will stand right in front of God face to face. And you're going to give an account of your life according to what that book says. You're going to give an account of your life. Jesus said, the word that I've spoken, same shall judge you in the last day. The way of a sinner is the way of condemnation. You go ahead and sin, but remember, God is out there waiting on you. I heard about this truck driver that's going across the mountain. And, boy, he's a sinner. He's going the way of a transgressor. He's living like the devil himself. And he passed his car, and on the back of his car, he saw a bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, at the end of the road, you'll meet God. Boy, he's going down that highway, and he thought, you know, one of these days I'm going to get to the end of this road. One of these days I'm going to get to the end of my road of life. When I do, I'm going to meet God. And he pulled off the side of the road, bowed his head, and made things right with the Lord, and he got saved. God's out there waiting on you, friend. God's out there waiting on you. Well, you see, it's kind of like that story of them three men. I was walking down the street one day and there was a photographer out there taking pictures. And they just beat up on him and hit him and broke his camera. When they did, that camera snapped. They left that photographer laying there all beat up, blood running out of his nose, knocked out, unconscious. They went away and thought they'd got away with it. Brother, they kept that man in there and said, "Who beat you up?" And he said, "I don't know." They got that film out and developed that thing. There's big life, full color, was a picture of the three old boys. And they went and tracked them down, and they had to give an account of the crime. You see, when you go out and sin, you think nobody don't know it. But God's got a camera. He's taking pictures of everything you do. And one of these days, if you don't get saved, you're going to get out of the judgment. And the Lord says, "Let's look at our photo album, shall we?" And you'll say, "Oh, no, no, Lord, no." So, remember this? You say, "No, Lord, no, no." Say, "What about that next night? Where were you at that Saturday night, November, back there in 1982, when your mama thought you went over to that girl's house and spent the night and you went off with a bunch of boys? Shall we show that picture?" "No, Lord, no!" The way of a transgressor. Your own life's going to condemn you one day. The Lord will have no other choice than to let you go to a place prepared for the devil and his angels, the lake of fire. I'm so glad tonight Jesus come down here and paid the price for our sins. And if you want forgiveness of your sins tonight, there's room at the cross. If you'll come up here and confess them and mean it from the bottom of your heart, the Bible says, "Whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You may have went the way of a transgressor. It's time you change roads, friend. Turn around and went back toward God and let the Lord have His way in your heart. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. While a song is made ready. Christians are praying. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to pray tonight. We've had a hard time preaching this message tonight. The devil didn't want this. Made us say, I reckon, what I said. It's been very hard. But it's the truth. God wants to do something for somebody's heart here tonight. The Lord wants to move on somebody in this service right now. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I tell you what we're going to do. As God's speaking to your heart tonight, you may be sitting out there and say, "Brother Danny, I'm going the way of a sinner. And I'm finding out how sin is. It's sweet at first, but boy, is it bitter at the last. Brother Danny, I need the church to pray for me tonight. Would you slip up your hand and take it right back down so we can pray for you?" God bless you, young lady. Is there another? Young people, slip up your hand. Take it right back down. Young man, young lady, slip up your hand. Take it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Say, "Brother Danny, I know my life." God bless you, young man. Amen. God bless you. If you want to be remembered in this prayer, God bless you. Nobody's not going to come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. Ain't nobody going to try to drag you to the altar. All we're going to do is pray. That's all. Going to pray for you. Slip up your hand. Say, "Brother Danny, I don't want..." God bless you, young lady. Amen. Anybody else? Be honest. No one's looking around. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You say, "I don't want God to look down one day at me and condemn me. I don't want to hear condemnation. I want to hear Him say, 'Come, enter into the joy of the Lord.' I don't want to hear God say, 'Depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.' Preacher, pray for me. Slip a hand. Take it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you over there. I see your hand. Someone else, right quick. Christians, you pray now. A large number of young people raise their hands tonight. Christians, pray. I believe God wants to do something for them tonight. Lord wants to do something for these young people here, right here in this service tonight. They need to get their life on this altar. They need to come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, I know I've done wrong and I'm going to do better. And by your grace, I want to live so that I'll be glad to face you one day instead of afraid and ashamed. Somebody else, say, slip up your hand. Ready? All right, I see your hand. Is there another? Is there another? Is there another? Right quick. Before we pray, God bless you, young lady. Amen. 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 Somebody else. Amen. I see you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Right quick. God bless you. All right, we're going to pray now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd move by the power of your Spirit. God, help these young people to know that their sins can be forgiven right here tonight and never, ever mentioned to them again, Lord. They can be washed and made white as snow in the blood of the Lamb. God, that they can have victory in Jesus like we sang about a while ago. Oh, God, help them, Lord. Help them, Jesus, we pray. Help them to come to the altar of repentance and come to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's everlastingly and eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. God's speaking to your heart tonight. You need to come to this altar.
Page 37.
Just come on right now while we sing.